from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit with the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is poured by Pelican Brewing. Be ready for your next afternoon vacation with Beak Breaker Tropical. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
Yes, indeed. At 8 a.m., Daily Ticker, brought to you in the fam by our great friends at Pelican Brewing. Visit PelicanBrewing.com for more details on locations, events, and award-winning beers independently brewed since 96. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach. A lot to get to in the final hour, but we started with our good friend Keith Smith, contributor to SpoTrack, the front office show, does great content for them. They had a good show a couple nights ago. Find him on Twitter, at Keith Smith, NBA national NBA guy. Keith, good morning. How we doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
I know you dove into the Tatum debate, but what did you make of their 26-point victory of Serbia? I was rather impressed. I thought Serbia would push them the entire way, and for them to kind of break apart from the Serbs and win that game, I thought was pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's great to see them have this sense of, all right, we need to put the hammer down now and finish these guys off. And that's good to see, because sometimes what's been a struggle for Team USA is if they don't blow somebody out early, they let teams hang around, and then all of a sudden they find themselves in a game that they didn't really expect to be in down the line. So that's a really good start for them. You know, I think, they played even, as the stats out there, I think everybody's seen it probably by now, but they were even when Jokic was on the floor. But he's not going to play every minute of every game, and they were able to blow him out when he didn't play. So that was big. So now we'll see if they meet him again, you know, if that's something they can kind of take forward from there. But, you know, for as it stands right now, they're looking pretty good moving into the second game.
Well, Keith, I wanted to bring you on to talk some off-season stuff, and our Blazers are not at the top of the conversation chart for a lot of people throughout the country, and I understand why. They're in a tanking spot. They're clearly trying to get a good pick in the 25 draft, and they're rebuilding post the Dame era. Now, you've given some thoughts on Jeremy Grant. I'm curious to pick your brain on Ant Simons. Before, though, I get to that, they signed Devontae Graham. Seems like it's a non-guaranteed camp invite-type deal. They've got full roster already, so a lot of people are wondering, nothing burger or Brian Windhorst fingers up. Now, why would they do that? How often, Keith, you were probably doing this before he created that image, because I think a lot of us covering the NBA or follow the NBA have been doing that. But he kind of encapsulated the whole thing with that image. when you see a signing like that, do you instantly do that, or do you just see and say, Blazers have a full roster, camp invite only, non-guaranteed deal, nothing burger? How do you interpret moves like that to different teams?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think normally I kind of shrug and move on to the next thing. But in this case, Devonte Graham's a veteran guy. So guys like him, now it has become more common in recent years that guys like him will go to training camp with teams without a guarantee or a partially guaranteed deal and try to kind of fight their way onto the roster. But it used to be for years that players wouldn't do that. If they were a veteran guy, it was either, hey, you're going to give me money or I'm not coming in. Now, what was a little bit different here is we know the Blazers are kind of an incomplete roster right now in terms of being finished with their offseason moves. They moved Malcolm Brogdon, but it's always felt like, all right, there's more to come. They've still got too many centers. They've got Jeremy Grant in the fold. They have, you know, right now still maybe one guard too many. Matisse Thybulle is, you know, he's their best defender, but, you know, that's kind of like having a great closer on a bad baseball team. Like, what's kind of the point of that? So I feel like this could be one where it is, hey, we're going to bring Devonte Graham in because we don't want to have nothing but kids on the roster if we make another trade or two. But let's see what it looks like. Then that way, we've already got him in the fold if we want to keep him around if we do make further moves. So that part raised my eyebrow a little bit.
Keith Smith on Twitter, at Keith Smith NBA, Spotrac, front office show. You can catch him on Twitter and catch the YouTube show. They do a great job over there. You talked about Jeremy Grant a little bit on the last episode. The Lakers, there's a big rumor mill, like it's no secret here that they want to trade Jeremy Grant. He is a veteran under contract. Numbers, you know, shooting splits and scoring average is not bad. I don't know where I'd rank him defensively, and he doesn't really rebound. I think it'd be hilariously bad business for the Lakers to trade two firsts for Jeremy Grant. I thought you put it really well and said, does Jeremy Grant really make you that much better than what Rui Hachimura makes you? And I'm listening to this going, no, not in the Western Conference. No, Jeremy Grant does not change your circumstance a whole lot more than Rui Hachimura. Where are you at on the Lakers dealing two firsts potentially for Jeremy Grant? Do you think that's honestly realistic, or do you think it'd be more player salary filler with maybe one pick attached to it?
So I got to answer that kind of two ways. Okay. Right now, I think that would be a massive overpay. I think that's just not what they should be doing if you're the Lakers. And again, let me clarify for maybe those who didn't get a chance to see the show.
Yeah.
Jeremy Grant's a better player than Rui Hachimura.
Yes.
I don't want anybody jumping at me suggesting otherwise. But the reality is, both of those guys are the fourth or fifth option for this Lakers team. And that's where it becomes, all right, well, is he that big of an upgrade as a fourth or fifth option for the Lakers? That's where it starts to get crazy, because these two first-round picks are kind of the last real assets that the Lakers have to move that would be actually tradable. Because somebody will say, well, what about Anthony Davis? Sure, but they're not going to trade him. So, you know, so if what they would trade, it becomes those two picks. So that's where you got to be kind of really careful if you're the Lakers side, you know, with this. Now, what I will say is, they've done comparatively nothing this offseason. They lost Spencer Dinwiddie and Torian Prince. They replaced them with Dalton Knecht and Bronny James in the draft, and that's it. That is the sum total of their 15-man standard contract move so far. And trust me, Lakers fans, they've been chirping about it every single moment they have a chance. So that's where you may see they could get desperate kind of coming down the line here and saying, all right, you know what, we got to do something. And that's where maybe Portland can get a little bit of an overpay and get that second pick out of them. And if Portland can do that, so much the better for them.
How much of his contract is limiting him being moved? And kind of a piggybacking onto that question, a two-parter for you here. I'm fascinated of, you don't want to lose a trade. I certainly understand the thinking of that. But balancing, like, is it smart to have Jeremy Grant on the Blazers next year? Or is it like we should be turning over a new leaf, and so don't take a crap deal, but maybe it's not the greatest? I'm just curious how you balance having a veteran on this roster the way Jeremy Grant is, and how much of his contract maybe limits them moving him, at least in the offseason going into this year.
Yeah, so here's the challenge. I don't think the salary numbers or anything too crazy for Jeremy Grant, not with where salaries have gone in the league. He's well below a maximum salary for his years of service. So that's where I think, you know, people, that part of that is just the sticker shock of having to adjust to, hey, yeah, we are in a whole new world salary-wise. But it's the years. It's the 4 years left. That's where it starts to be. All right, when we're a plus $30 million for a guy who's going to be in his early 30s, what teams can afford that? What teams can have the cap sheet that can, you know, support a deal like that? That's where it starts to get a little messy. So I think what we're going to see here with Portland is they're probably going to have some struggles. Now, you're absolutely right. You don't make a trade just to make a trade. That would be a bad decision. And there will be teams that at some point are going to say, you know what, we need a forward. It doesn't matter, you know, the contract. If we can make a deal, we got to make a deal. Let's get this done. And that's where I think Portland can afford to be a little bit patient here. You don't need to make a move today, tomorrow. I mean, heck, they didn't make their moves last year until we're on the eve of training camp. So they could do that. But I think the idea is what you want to be cautious of is if you're really hoping, all right, we want to, you know, start pushing as many minutes to the young guys as we can. You don't want to put a veteran in a place where it is, hey, we're just going to sit you with three full years left on your deal. Like, that doesn't look good and it doesn't feel good for anybody. So that's the balance that the front office and coaching staff has to find.
It's the Daily Ticker brought to you in the fan by Pelican Brewing. We're talking with Keith Smith of SpoTrack and the front office show on Twitter at Keith Smith. NBA. I want to ask you an Ant Simons question before we get you off, but I do want to get your thoughts. They traded for Denny Avdia on draft night, and they moved Dame Lillard last year. They've had some working parts. They've got more veterans that people think they're going to move on from. What's your assessment, even if it's a relatively early one, what is your assessment of Joe Cronin's trading ability or how you view Joe Cronin, the general manager, operating for the Trailblazers?
I think he's done pretty good. I think, you know, he showed really good resolve not giving in to Miami last year and taking what was ultimately would have been a way worse package. Now, I know there's a lot of people who feel like, well, you know, he should have had something else lined up for Drew Holiday, but I think that's more people chirping because they're mad, you know, where he landed or that they didn't get him themselves. So I think that part of it is, you know, I think he did a really nice job there trying to just balance that, especially considering by the time those trades all came together, it was so late in the year, you didn't have, like, dumping grounds for salary. You didn't have a bunch of places you could send other guys that maybe you would have rather have not had. Now, the work continues. I think the Brogdon for Avdia trade, I know some people balked at, it was two draft picks. The way I look at that is, it was one draft pick for Avdia, who's a good player on a great contract, and one draft pick to get off Brogdon. I don't really mind, you know, the value there. I think they did just fine. So I think that was a really good move. But now it's, all right, what's next? Because if we're still having this conversation post-trade deadline of all these same guys are still on the same team, to me that was a failure. Barring, man, this team came together all of a sudden. They look great, and they're pushing for a play-in spot or a playoff spot. Then, you know, I'll eat those words. But as it stands right now, you know, the work continues. They're just an incomplete for me.
I will let you know, just because you do a national thing, you do a great job. If they are pushing for play-in, pitchforks will be out here.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, that is not the direction that people want for this team. I'll get you we'll get you out of here on this one, Keith. Ant Simons. He seems logical. He said at the end of the season at his presser that he wants to compete, when now it's clearly not where they're at as an organization. It's pretty loud here that's like a move eventually going to happen. Orlando, largely the team we tie to him because he's from there. They kind of are looking for what he is. If you took Orlando out, are there other places that would make sense in the Anthony Simons category?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely other places, because when you can shoot and score the way he can, you're always going to find a team that's interested. And it may be a spot where, you know, hey, his best role is a scoring combo guard off the bench on a really good team, and that's fine. You know, we've seen, I always go back to guys like Jamal Crawford, Lou Williams made, you know, two-decade-long careers out of that being their role. Jordan Clarkson's now headed down that path. There's nothing wrong with that, even if I think he would want to be more. The Magic connection, I think, kind of went a little bit away when they signed Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, because now they're sitting here, they have five guards that they really like in Orlando. Maybe one or two of them could get moved in a trade for Anthony Simons, but you know, we'll see. And I personally, I would love to see him come home here to Orlando. That's where I'm based out of. So to go back to your previous thing, I get it that Blazers fans are dreaming Cooper Flagg and others, and I've seen him play a lot at Montverde Academy, so I'd be dreaming about it too. You know, so I fully get that. But yeah, with Anthony Simons, I mean, he's a really nice player. His contract's not bad, and I get where he's coming from. He's now midway through his second contract in the NBA, and I think he's looking at it saying, yeah, I don't want to be, you know, kind of saying, all right, we're going to compete, but it's going to be, you know, 2 or 3 years before we get there. I think he's looking at it saying, nah, I want to compete right now, because he knows if I'm just a pretty good player on a bad team, that third contract's probably not going to be what he wants it to be.
How often do people say spot track versus spo track? Because I used to be a spot track guy, but then I'd see the way it's put, and I'm always like, I'm spo track now. I used to be spot track, now I'm spo track.
You got to go back to the other way. It's spot track.
Yeah.
You were right before. Yeah. So it's spot track. Yeah, if I had a dollar every time I get asked that, I wouldn't need to work there anymore because I'd be independently wealthy.
Well, you do a great job, man. I enjoy the show. The Front Office Show with Keith Smith on Twitter, at Keith Smith NBA. Give him a follow, covering the NBA for Spot Track and the Front Office Show. Keith, we always appreciate the time catching up with you out here in Portland. Thanks for hopping on with us, and we'll talk to you soon.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me.
All right, there we go. Great stuff from Keith Smith on Twitter, at Keith Smith NBA. That was the Daily Ticker, brought to you by Pelican Brewing. Visit pelicanbrewing.com for more details on locations, events, and award-winning beers. Independently brewed since 96, Pelican Brewing, born at the beach. We have a three-way, we have a threesome statter story. It's going to get weird. It's going to get kinky. We'll see where it goes next on The Fan.
Crunch. From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
the numbers.
There's 6,127 students at Addison, 58% of which are girls. So that's 7,107.32 boobs.
Break the news.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Is it a stat or a story?
Evidence based on olfactory prowess is inadmissible, in case you didn't know.
This is Stat or Story, a monumental judgment call with Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Come on, do math.
The Fan.
All right, Stat or Story. We do it every hump day at 8:15. Our thanks again to Keith Smith. I want to read this text very quickly. This one says, Grant would easily be the third option on the Lakers. Don't tell me Austin Reeves is ahead of Grant pecking order if Grant was to move over there. I disagree with you, kind sir, or lady. I actually, that would be the concern. That's why I wouldn't trade two first for Jeremy Grant. He'd have several nights where
Reeves,
he would become
Reeves
the fourth
handles
option.
The ball. Like Reeves
is your, he's your playmaking
he's
guard
your playmaker,
alongside LeBron. So,
and, yeah.
Maybe pecking order wise, with salary and trade stuff, Grant is your third. I just think Grant is a fourth, and that's why I would never
on a
trade two firsts
on
for Jeremy
a team
Grant.
That believes it has a run to a championship.
Yes. I think he's a fourth option, not a third. I think he's a good player, not worth two first round picks. But Pelinka may get desperate. Lakers need to do something. We've got three Statter stories. It's going to start with swag. Right. I got one, and then one with
we'll
swag.
We'll build to a fantastic finish. Your first number, 458.
458. Sounds like an Aaron Judge home run.
The total number of career points Kevin Durant has scored in Olympic competition.
The all-time leader. Okay.
Or is it the number of pubs in the United Kingdom with the name Red Lion? The most popular name of a pub in the United Kingdom.
458's a lot. I also don't know how many points he scored. I know he's the all-time leading Olympic scorer, but I don't know the number. I almost said stat.
Coming into this Olympics, he had 435. He had 23 in their opening win over Serbia. So that is 458 points. The most in U.S. Olympic history. I don't know. I think that the most all time, my instinct tells me.
Well, U.S. Olympics. I'm sorry. Yeah.
The most all-time in all Olympics, I think it's either a Russian who played back in like the 70s, or it's Oscar Schmidt from Brazil who played in a ton of them. That would be my instinct. I could go Oracle on that.
It is Oscar Schmidt.
There you go.
He's got 1,093 points for Brazil.
All right. Did you know there are 506 pubs in the UK named Red Lion? I found the story in
How original.
Food and Wine.
How original.
Yes, I read Food and Wine.
I don't think anybody's surprised to hear you say that. Have you met yourself?
So why exactly do all these pubs share the name? It's actually come down from last year. There were 514. A few of them have closed the doors. Back in 1603, James VI of Scotland inherited the throne and became James I of England. But nobody in England was fond of him because his mother was Mary Queen of Scots, who ended up getting beheaded. So when he took over, he sort of proclamated whatever kings did back in the day to say, it might be helpful for you to do this, was to include the name Red Lion as a prominent name, just to remind everybody of the fact that he is from Scotland and he's in charge, and that's what you did to my mother.
Yeah, the opening ceremonies had a little bit of this. What was with these people and beheading? Why did that become a thing?
Well, you had to make sure
that and stoning, just like two things you're like,
yeah, public stoning,
dark
well,
and
there
twisted.
Wasn't, you know, I don't know, they didn't have,
how about a knife to the heart way quicker
with a spoon, it'll hurt more.
Okay.
So a few years ago, there were even over 600 Red Lion pubs.
Why would you keep calling everything Red Lion? Like, if you know there's 500 of these, don't you want to stand out a little bit? Be creative.
Come up with a different pub name.
It's been around for 300 years.
Yeah, but there's
really
500 of them.
There you go.
Be different.
I don't know.
I'm going to yell Red Lion in the UK, and I'm going to get 500 results.
So there are 466 pubs named Crown, 396 Royal Oaks, 290 White Hearts. So there you go.
I'd have a pub in England called Second Place. That's a good one. 1519. 1,519. 1519.
It's not the year I was born.
Well, I know it's a little later than that. Is it the year Spanish conquistadors named a tasty dip we all now know as guacamole after reaching the shores of Mexico as National Avocado Day? Oh. Or is it the total receiving yards of one Lions wide receiver, Amun-Ra St. Brown?
Amun-Ra St. Brown.
Amun-Ra St. Brown.
Career or last season?
Just last year, 1519. 1,519 or 1519.
He was a popular target of one Jared Goff, wasn't he?
He was. I'll give you a little clue. A little clue here, a little hint. I believe, I'll bring it up here, he was third in receiving yards.
Yes. I'm going to go stat.
You're going stat? All right. Look at you. No, he had 15. Very close. 1,515 receiving
yards. 1519. Yeah, more people got lost and discovered Mexico and guacamole.
The Spanish conquistadors got to the shores of Mexico, and they were introduced to the dip we know now as guacamole. I don't know how to pronounce what it used to be called, but it's quite literally the definition is avocado sauce combined is what guacamole means.
Now, is it, was it, were there different things in it back in the day?
So it used to just be pretty bland. It just used to be squashed,
avocado mashed up,
and they'd put it on tortillas. They'd roll it up and eat
it.
The conquistadors, though they were invading, they introduced them to lard, which helped fry tortillas to make it easier to dip into the guacamole.
Oh, they brought the chip.
Well, they also introduced salt, cilantro, and spices and onion to the guacamole. So awful, yes, but beneficial to the future society.
Yes. Well,
making guacamole.
Good things have to start with an idea somewhere.
And
steal it.
Well, there's that. Yeah. We're in America, baby. We steal all our food.
There's people here.
Oh. Whoa.
Your last number.
Yes.
2,551. 2551. Okay. It is National Mutt Day.
I'm getting this. I almost did a mutt thing because I saw what day it was. Yeah.
Is it the number of miles Bobby the Wonder Dog traversed in a six-month journey to come home after he was separated from his family in 1923 and 24 in Silverton, Oregon?
So he traveled to Silverton, Oregon from 2551
miles? Yes, so the family went on a trip.
Okay.
He got separated.
Yep. Came back.
Came back 6 months later.
Okay.
Wow. Or is it the career rushing yards of one Rashad Penny, who announced he's hanging it up after 6 years in the NFL?
Yeah, that's going to be one of the worst first-round picks for the Seahawks. I don't even think he got that many rushing yards. I don't think he was healthy enough to have accumulated 2,551. Yeah, that feels like too many. In fact, I'm going to go ballsy. Homeward Bound, The Incredible Journey in the early 1900s happened via Silverton, Oregon. I'm going story, Bob.
1,951 career rushing yards
for
one Rashad Penny. Only played 10 or more games in three of his six seasons.
Yeah, I mean, like, we knew the talent was there. We watched it in college at San Diego State. We saw a glimpse of it in Seattle. Yep. He just could never stay healthy. Nope. Signed on with the Panthers. Unfortunately,
retired. Averaged 43.4 yards per game. Played 5 seasons, 42 games with the Seahawks, 3
brutal
with the Eagles last season. No, I ran across this story just looking at National Mutt Day and was blown away. I had never, growing up here, this seems like one of the lore, like you would run across this.
I don't think I've ever heard this one either.
1923, Frank and Elizabeth Brazier. This is according to Wikipedia that got the information from the Oregon Humane Society.
Okay.
They took off with their 2 daughters to visit relatives in Wolcott, Indiana. Their 2-year-old Scotch Collie English Shepherd mixed dog Bobby came with them, but was attacked by 3 other dogs and then ran away. And after an exhaustive search out there, they determined either did not, maybe suffered wounds that were too bad, couldn't recover from them, or was so scared, ran off, never to be found again.
Mm.
So they ended up deciding, okay, we'll have to go home. So that was August of 1923.
Devastating decision, by devastating. The way. Like, my kids would
but,
never
you know,
forgive.
It's the 20s, so...
I get it.
They're in a Model T or something.
Right.
Taking 4 weeks to drive cross country. February of 24, 6 months later, Bobby returned to Silverton, mangy, dirty, and scrawny, toenails worn down to nothing, showing all the signs of having walked the entire distance that included swimming rivers and crossing the Continental Divide during the coldest part of the winter. The ordeal, it was a trek of 2,551 miles. There were numerous newspaper articles. Ripley's Believe It or Not did a story on it. Books, films. Bobby played himself. There was a 1924 silent film. The Humane Society went and pieced things back between letters and journals, stuff that they curated over the years. And that they determined was apparently on the trip, the family stopped at service stations, parked their cars there at
so
local service stations. And the dog... tracking the scent
wow.
would stop by those and maybe rest there at night and then average 14 miles a day.
Jeez.
So dog lived about 3 more years in 1927. It was buried with honors at the Oregon Humane Society's Pet Cemetery in Portland. The famous film star Rin Tin Tin came at the funeral and laid a wreath at its grave. And so,
what did he now, say at the funeral? Rin Tin Tin.
Woof. So there's there was a movement in Silverton then to have his remains moved to Silverton.
Oh, we have a statue of this dog.
I know.
That'd be badass. Big
so,
dog
yeah,
statue.
It's a cool looking, you know, mix.
Well, I looked it up, so I did the average. If you went 2551
so
at a 14
August
mile clip, 182 days.
Yeah, it was.
Imagine
6 months.
Losing your dog in 180 days.
I
later,
mean, this was Homeward Bound before Homeward
yeah.
Bound ever happened.
What's you know, aside from just following scent, having that ability, and walking that many miles as an animal,
not getting eaten by a bear or a coyote
or a
buffalo or whatever is out there at the time.
That is the most remarkable part. That is an impressive thing, and I don't know. I'd love to have seen the family's reaction seeing the dog walk
exactly.
up on the property.
So there's also part of the story, an Irish woman in Portland took care of him for a period of time, helping him recover from all the injuries to his legs and paws.
Oh, yeah, that dog was probably white.
So, yeah.
Lucky he got 3 more years after that dog got
yeah.
back. That's a great story. Didn't know that. There we go. Statter story. You do it every Wednesday.
Love your mutts out there.
Love your mutts. Love your guacamoles. Holy molies. Hey, kind of a day to celebrate. Are we forgetting? Next on The Fan. Tomorrow's show, slightly different. We'll tell you how coming up. It'll still be, I mean, I say that. We tease it.
Yeah.
Location, that's kind of about it in my opinion, because I'm not letting...
We might have a surprise guest or two. But we will still...
We'll see. I just want to get in.
We'll break
like, let's
down...
Let's just get in.
Yeah, I'm sure there will be a U.S. men's basketball controversy of no impact to fire up everybody.
Well, there's some things. I had some people, you know, texting into the Vancouver Ford text line earlier about some stuff. There's a couple things I'm holstering for tomorrow because I've been told Dirt is back tomorrow.
I've been told Dirt is back tomorrow.
You've been told Dirt is back tomorrow. It's a wait and see. And we also need to hold our breath that we can get into where we're going tomorrow.
Yes.
I've been in the position, it's the morning show, where it's like, hey, it's not open. What? What's going on? But we will give you details on that coming up in the final segment. Big day today. Everybody celebrating appropriately, I hope. Fall camp. College football fall camps begin.
Yes.
How are we feeling about that? The Duckies, the Beavs?
Yes. Yeah. And also, today officially, maybe it was, no, today officially.
Last day of July?
Or maybe it's tomorrow, but I saw something. The Big Ten Network is doing a big welcome. They officially join Oregon, Washington, USC, UCLA.
I saw Petiti was asked on the Big Ten panel after he did his very boring opening press conference, which we aired live, and that was a mistake, buddy.
Yeah.
Why didn't you warn me? He talked about volleyball. I'm like, this is football media day, sir.
Caitlin Clark.
Yeah, all right.
She's gone. She's in WNBA. Pro.
Yeah, I'm not here for this. I'm here for football. Anyways.
We didn't get an advance copy of the speech.
He was asked about their commercial, which is pretty popular, where they have the stadium pop-ups on the map.
Yes.
They don't have a West Coast one. There's no UW, no Oregon, no LA. So right. He was asked about it, and he said, stay tuned for that. We're very aware of that people really want that.
Yes, and the music is quite a thing, too, in that. I've discovered
the music. What do you mean?
Well, I went as we were doing. I was doing production for the Ducks going to the Big Ten. I was looking to see if the Big Ten Network had like a theme song, the way the Pac-12 Network did, or if it's just Fox. I mean, they're Fox is.
Well, they
doing
also have the CBS music from the SEC.
Well, we got that.
They got all the music.
We got the NBC Saturday Night thing going.
Yeah,
so
that's
there'll be
right.
some of that. But I didn't know. So I was looking, and all of a sudden, the music in that commercial is a thing.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
I've heard the music. I just see the commercial. It's usually on mute.
No, that song apparently is a thing in Big Ten country.
But fall camp's opening up is always exciting. Now, it goes through a couple two-week lull there where you get nothing from the coaches.
Well, they don't wear pads for a couple of days.
They're angry. Everybody's hot.
Yes.
You know, and you don't get any information. So, like, we get excited. And then it dies for 2 weeks. And then it's like, hey, the season's in 1 week. How do we feel? I'm just jacked that it's back. I did say to my wife, she did a countdown to us and the kids the other day. Was like, hey, guys, 4 weeks till school. And I just went, the kids both gave me a look. And I said it for them. I went, why would you say that? Why would you? You know what that means for me?
Yeah.
That means basketball season's kind of close. And I'm coaching. And I already have anxiety and stress about that. But I need to hear that. So, like, it's a give and take thing. I love football. We're going to dive into camp tomorrow. Oregon State, Oregon.
The dirty poll is coming.
I think. I'm pretty sure. Right?
It's coming. I was told it was coming.
Who told you that?
Did.
He did?
Yeah, he said
I didn't know if he'd confirm that on the air or not. Dirty poll might be coming. We're going to dive into it. It's also like, I like my summer.
Exactly.
I like to pump the brakes a little bit.
This might be the longest month of the summer because you're just waiting for it.
You're waiting for it, and honestly...
And you know they're practicing, and there's all sorts of 8 billion stories.
But you also get nothing. I'm telling you, it's like a week and a half, two-week period. You get nothing from these camps.
The Olympics is a good distraction right now.
It is. But also, enjoy the rest of your summer with your family, your friends. Like, we're only going to have it for so much longer.
Oh, yeah.
So camp is opening up. I hope everybody celebrates. No matter what team you root for, be happy. Football is back in our lives. We'll wrap it up by giving you a heads up about tomorrow, next on 1080 The Fan. All right, welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague here. Loaded day on The Fan. Colin is going to follow us, obviously. I'm sure he's got some hot, scorching takes in the NFL. And then Danny Dusty and Primetime. Reminder, or heads up, I should say, really, because we haven't talked much, if at all, about it.
But you've been hearing the ads for quite some time.
You have. If you listen to the commercials, you're familiar. If you don't, well, you know, I get it. Tomorrow, we will be live out at the PDXYZ 2024 Business Marketing TED Talk-like event. It is an event with 250-plus executives, 6 keynote speakers, 20-plus renowned speakers. There's a really good guest list tomorrow, some of which are in sports. Nico Harrison of the Mavericks.
Heather Davis of the Timbers.
Neil Everett.
Neil Everett's
the Blazers,
there. Our boy
ESPN.
Orlando Williams.
Yeah, not really doing a sports thing, though. But we could still talk Blazers with him if he's there. We don't know if we're going to have a guest. We're lined up. There's a bunch of people on a list, so we'll have to kind of just fly by the seat of our pants. But we will be live tomorrow on location right across the street from where we're currently at down here on Thurman Street at the PDXYZ event. All the shows, by the way, will be live out there. And any interest, it seems like a really cool event. I've seen a TV commercial for it, and it's just bridging a gap of generations and equality and business and sharing ideas and collaboration. And so tomorrow we'll be doing our show live from 6 to 9 a.m. out at the PDXYZ event. Should be a good time, hopefully. A lot to look forward to. Tomorrow, the Dirt Man is supposed to be back. So we'll see if he shows up.
Yeah.
Be funny if he had another day of vacation and none of us knew it. You know, he goes to Central Oregon. You never know.
I don't know.
Everybody talks about Sukanik going to a beach. That's Dirt in Central Oregon.
I'll buzz the texting tower.
Kind of curious to not buzz the texting tower. I like to operate in the unknown a little bit. Like, hey, what's going to happen tomorrow?
I don't.
I know. We're drastically different in that way. There are a couple little nugs that I holstered for tomorrow's show.
Okay.
One of which is involving a pro athlete attacking live on the air, verbally, a radio host in Tennessee. Called him the P word. Because the guy had a thought on Twitter about the pro athlete. And the guy was like, yo, you can hop on the show right now, man. And the guy just, the athlete refused. And then, so it was a back and forth. We'll talk a little bit about that. We'll dive into more of the camp stuff. I know I mentioned camps opening up, but Oregon camp opening up. They've had a hell of a week.
NFL announcing today they're actually implementing technology for something good.
Yeah, they're going to use the Hawkeye thing from tennis, which is like, hey, a decade too late, but thank you for
maybe,
finally doing
it. So maybe 65-year-old guys with chains will no longer determine if it's a first down or not.
Shout out the local product, Jade Carey and Jordan Chiles.
Congratulations, the Redemption Tour.
Yeah, the U.S. women got gold in your face, Michaela Skinner. Huh? Call them lazy again.
Yeah.
Enjoy your silver. They all got golds. And one of the greatest catches I've ever seen in sports ever yesterday with Ireland and Germany. Did you see this? This rugby play?
I did not.
A teammate lifted her teammate over her shoulders. The girl leans back, catches the ball with her fingertips, was gonna fall backwards. Her teammate holds her. And then proceeds to bring her back to flip her on her feet.
There we go.
It's one of the best sports plays highlights I've ever seen in my life. So more Olympic coverage. We'll dive into more football tomorrow. We'll join you live from the PDXYZ event tomorrow, bright and early. Thanks for hanging with us. All the text, the Vancouver Ford text line. If you missed the show, catch the podcast at 1080thevan.com or the Odyssey app. And we'll talk to you guys tomorrow on a beautiful Thursday edition of Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.